the fire. Last year, and it's nice to blame last year. Last year I knew I'm preaching tonight. But there are so many things I was doing and I forgot. This morning when Conrad came up and he said, yeah, we're starting service now. I said, oops. But praise God, I had something in mind that I prepared. I just had to put everything together tonight. So please bear with me. It's going to be a bit back to front. You know, so many times we start a message and we put the scriptures and we tell you what the scriptures are all about. But I'm not going to start with scriptures. I feel that this is the way I want you to look at hear what I'm saying and hear what I'm going to tell you tonight and share with you. And at the end, I'm sure that you'll understand what I'm trying to say. Amen. What I'd like to speak to you tonight is about Christ-centered life. A Christ-centered life. And I've looked at a lot of things and so many times we listen and we hear people talk and people discuss objects and stuff. And I wrote a law, the law is you working. The law is my doing. I do everything that puts me under the law. But grace is God working. God doing. God fulfilling his purposes. God fulfilling his plans. A life worth living is a life living under the grace of God. And what a wonderful place to be. That we are under God's grace continuously, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months a year, 365 days a year. This is an excellent place to be under God's grace, where God needs to move and affect things in your life. You may ask, how do I know if I'm under the grace or under the law? You're under the law when you find yourself saying, am I pleasing God? Am I doing all right? Because did I do something wrong? I wonder if God is displeased with me for things I've done. The thing is, whenever you're conscious about you and what you are to God, you put yourself under the law immediately. Whenever you're conscious about what you are to God, things change. You put yourself under grace. God, so grace is what God is to you. This is what grace is all about. What is God to me? Whenever I'm conscious about what is to me, I put myself under grace. The law says, I am working, I'm busy, I'm doing things, I'm completing things. God's grace says, God is working. God is working in me. God's fulfilling his plans. God's fulfilling his purposes. The law is when I work, but grace is when God works. Right now, even as I am conveying this message to you, there's an inward rest within me. I've got an inward rest within me as I'm conveying this message. You see, I'm not working. People think, but that's crazy. But I'm not working because it's Christ is working within me. Christ is giving me the ability. Christ is giving me the unction. Christ is giving me the anointing that is within me. When I cease to work, I look at him. When I'm under grace and I'm not under the law. So it's not by what I'm doing. It's not by effort. You know, so many times we serve with effort on what we're doing. But with God and his grace, there's a peace that the world cannot take away. The world cannot give us that peace that is within us. All things, all good things and blessings are accomplished when I work and when God works in me. Everything is accomplished that are valuable and of value. When I work on my own, the results are bad. How many times have I planned in 1917? I've worked and I've slogged and I've planned things and it came out bad. It came out unsuccessful. Failures. But when God started to work in me, the results can be nothing but excellent, perfect. It's time that we realize we're no longer under law. We're not longer under, I wanted to sit here today and take 20 pages and put them together and open it and fall down to the bottom. That is the law. You've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And this, the whole thing about the law is we're underdoing things too much. We're so busy doing things that forget the creator that we're worshipping. We're forgetting God. We're so busy with doing things to achieve things. The law is a consciousness of self. Where am I? What am I doing? Am I good enough? And my weakness in my life, because of what I've gone through all the years in ministry and rejection and hurts, that thing always comes to me, am I good enough? Can I do it? No, I can't. You're not good enough. You're a failure. You're useless. And we know now that we fall short of God's glory. We know. But the law is what we're supposed to be before God, not what we are supposed to be. I wrote it twice. We are not supposed to be before God. The law says this is what you're supposed to be before God. You should do that, you should do that, you should do that, you should do that. But grace says, no, it's not what you do. It's what God does in you. It's what God fulfills in your life. The depth and the power of his anointing that he fulfills in your life. Question. How conscious are we of our faults and our failures? So many times I walk like that, under burden by the failures and the mistakes I make. I feel so condemned that I'm not worth of anything. I'm not valuable to anything. God wants us to stop focusing on them, but to focus on him instead. Because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one, the God that has a purpose and a plan for your life and my life. He's the one that can change your situation that might be negative to complete positive, to success and to excellence. As you're now listening to this message, do you know that God is working in you? God is busy working in you right now. Do you know that right now, working your body and your mind and your heart is fulfilling every purpose, every plan that there is available for you to do? You may ask, but how can God be working while I'm sitting still and I'm listening to your message and I hear what you're saying? But God works all the more within us when we are still. And what happens then? Let God be God. Let him fulfill his purpose. Let him fulfill his plan. Let God do what he wants to do in your life, in my life. Because that is where we get the freedom from. I've been sitting in these past weeks, early in the morning, and I say, Lord, this is strange. I'm sitting here and I've got peace within my soul. I'm not stressing about 2018. I'm not stressing about things that are going to happen. I'm not stressing about things that might have bothered me. But I find that I'm in your grace. I'm in your presence. I'm in your peace that you have given me. And when God works, and we allow God to work in your life and in my life, the results are perfect. God fulfills his perfect plans in your life, in my life, if we are under his grace and under his peace. So when you believe that God is working, it's not a matter of sitting down and doing nothing. We can't sit here and say, okay, grace, come to me, everything's going to go. We've got to do something. There's something expected of us to do. You must believe right now that God is working in your life. You must believe that God is working in your health, that my health is in his hands. God is working in your family. You know, I smiled, thank you, Josh. Thank you for the music ministry. Tonight's songs were perfect. That last one, but it was like I said to Josh, please sing about Calvary. Everything is done there in Calvary. That said to me, yes, everything is completed. I have a situation in my life that Lorraine and I, that we haven't got a medical. We've got medical aid. So when I get aches and pains and I get symptoms that are bothering, I say, Lord, you know, I'm under grace. I look at Calvary, the completed work at Calvary. You have fulfilled it. You did everything. Everything has been done under Calvary. Everything submits under your name, under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you said, this is the lie, I'm getting my that word mixed up. He says, complete, it's finished. I bring myself to you, and I bring the situation to you. And I say, Lord, in your name, in Jesus' name, that by your stripes I am healed. I know you are working within me. I know you're fulfilling your purpose in me. I know that you're healing and that I will not have to stress out and be fearful for the sickness in my body. And the pain is gone. 2 days and the pain comes back again. Why? Because the enemy wants to affect my faith. Because I want to walk by faith and not by sight. I want to work and believe that God is the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. I say, Lord, you are, and I believe that you are. And I believe that you can fulfill the purpose and plans in my life. So we've been in our health that we've got to submit ourselves to Jesus. We've got to know that the complete work of Calvary has been completed. There's nothing to be done anymore to fulfill the divine healing in our bodies. Because the promises from the Word is there, and it's yea and amen. That God's grace and only the response is required. There's only one thing required, and that is to believe. That we have to put our faith on the line. Every day I put my faith on the line. I say, Lord, yes, I trust and I believe that this will be healed, that will be completely under your care and under your healing. The most pleasing thing is that you can do before God is to believe and trust Him. Lord, you are my fortress and my deliverer and whom I trust. And that's our confessions. Every day we know that we can walk in health. We can walk under the power. We can walk under the anointing of the Most High God. Question, what is grace? Grace is to forget about ourselves. We're so caught up with ourselves, with our situations, with our problems. I'm so caught up with my own situations that I forget that I'm putting myself completely out of grace. But we have to be in Christ. Occupied within Christ. Christ occupied, Christ centered, that Christ works in me, that Christ is completely at home in me. So many times we get involved with our own attitude, with our own things, that we put Christ out of our lives completely. Because we're concerned and stressed out because of what we think. When Christ becomes the central figure in your life and in my life, our lives will be fulfilled with purpose and with meaning. We will walk. We will be able to go every day from Monday to Saturday, Monday to Sunday, not even worried about anything, not even concerned, because God is in control. Jesus said in John 10:10, we know the scripture off by heart. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and that they may have life more abundantly. He came to give us life and life in abundance. The question I always have is, if you want to see what God is like, look at Jesus. How do you become Christ-like centered? By discovering of who and what He is. Colossians 1:15 says, He is the image of the invisible God. If you want to see what God is like, look at Jesus. Throughout the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He had compassion for the needy. He cleansed the lepers. He opened the blind eyes and restored deaf ears. He raised the dead and loved the little children. The one who walked upon the earth created everything. He showed us what God is like because He is the image of the invisible God. John 1:3 says, through Him all things were made and without Him nothing was made that has been made. Everything we see in creation has been created by Him. He fulfilled His purpose. He created everything that we have and we see outside. Colossians 1:16 says, for Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created for Him and by Him. You know, Jesus created the stars, the sun, the moon. What you see or cannot see, He created it. You know, it's beautiful to see Jesus in a lowly grace situation. God is not showing, he's not pretentious like man. We try to get a bit of a name for ourselves. So many times in business, we try to get there at the top of ladders and we get in a hierarchy and we try to be important in our work situation. So many times we just need to get that push. So otherwise you will not be noticed. There won't be any promotions. There won't be any future in your work situation. So we caught up with that situation that I have to make a little bit of a name for myself. But we find to crave attention. I've been in situations with friends that when people get together, there's always one or two people that need attention. They're rowdy and they're noisy and they're always interrupting when people are discussing things. They're always there trying to show that I am here, I am the man, I always do that. I am the best briar. I know that I can do this better than you do, and I can do that better than that person can do. And I'm incapable of doing this, incapable of doing that. And they need to get attention. God may have created a particular fish that demonstrates one of man's weaknesses. It's known as a puffer fish. When it's threatened, it inflates itself, swallows water, becomes big. It puffs itself up, makes itself bigger than it really is. But one thing that's nice about Jesus, he's not like that. He never was. When he chose a place to be born at, he did not choose a palace, but he chose a small cave, a small place where the cattle is. And the King of Kings be born in a lowly manger. He chose to be born in a place that's not important. He walked among fishermen, not royalty. He chose tax collectors and fishermen to be his disciples. And this is what we call a lowly grace. Don't forget the hands that held the children, that blessed the children, created the stars, the moon, and millions of suns beyond our sun. When those hands were nailed upon the cross, it was no wonder that there was darkness for 3 hours in the middle of the day. Look at your purpose. What is your purpose in life? The word says, I know I have a purpose and a plan for you. So many times we're busy with working our own purpose. This is what I want. This is what I want to achieve. I want to get into business. I want to do this and I want to achieve that and I want to achieve that. And these are the things that we have. But we so many times are busy with what we try to achieve, what we try to do, and forget that Jesus said, I have a purpose and a plan for you. Come, let me be the center of your life. Come into my presence and my power and my ability, and I will change your things around. I have a plan. I know exactly what you need. I know exactly where I'm going to take you, what I have planned for you for the future. I think the biggest disappointment in a person's life will be when you stand in heaven one day and you see on the screen the purpose and the plan that God had for us. And we know that we've missed it. We've missed his purpose. We've missed his beauty. We've missed the majesty that we would have experienced. That when we see that God has made a plan for us and we have followed his plan, we've been obedient to his voice. We've been obedient to his call. We find there is a purpose in life. You can have that purpose in your marriage. You get married, don't marry just for one another. I mean, this is what people, I love you, and I want to marry you because I love you and you're important to me. But marry and love one another in him for his glory. Give him place in your marriage. Give him place in your life. Give him place when you're in your marriage that you know that you don't have to do things out of your own gain and your own purpose, but to glorify and worship God. Have a purpose in your career. Help him let him develop your career. Let him develop your future. Let him develop your plans for 2018. If you work for any other reason, your life won't have purpose. If you have to work for any other reason but to worship and glorify God, there will be no purpose for 2018. If we go into the warfare that we want to do, we want to conquer for the city, and our purpose and our reasons are wrong, we're going to miss it. But if we do that to glorify God, if we do that, if we don't do it for our own purpose and our own plan and our own glory, and we do it for the glory of God, we're going to succeed, and God will open the situations, and He'll open the situation and the circumstances for us to do what we want to do for God. You might say, but I'm working for my family and I'm putting food to food, put food on the table. And this is what last year my thing was. I've got to look after my wife, I've got to look after things. And that is just an existence. It's not the purpose. It's not the purpose and the plan of God. Do everything for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do everything to glorify Him and to uplift His name. Then you will experience life more and abundantly. Then you will experience the presence and the power of God that will affect your life and affect the people around about you. If you are serving the church, you're serving your community, you're serving your family, wherever you may be, in the same way, do it all for His glory. Not for us. We might work in the church because we want it full, we want to have a music ministry that will have bands and violins and everything. There's nothing wrong with it. But let your purpose and plan be for the glory of God. And God will honor what we do. God will honor what we achieve. And God will honor where we are going to. You see, when God is glorified, everybody is edified. When you glorify God, every people will be lifted up lifted up and blessed and anointed by the power of the Almighty God. Doing everything to glorify God, you will find that you no longer have to look over your shoulder. Over your shoulder for people that may be backbiting, people that may be attacking you, people that may criticize you, people that may say things to you about you that you don't need to hear. Man's opinions will no longer be important. I went to my aunt's funeral, I can't remember when, October, November, I can't remember now. And I was there, I was asked to deliver him this short message. And I stood there and I looked at my cousins, and I looked at my nieces and my nephews. My cousin said, oh, yes, my cousin, Uncle Frank. They said, who is he? We don't know him. And I had to tell them that the time has come that people must start to getting together, family need to start together. And I said to him, I don't care what you say. And the word was hard. And I said, I've come to the point in my life, I don't care what people say about me anymore. People can say what they want. They can criticize me. They can tell me anything. Say anything negative about me. The only thing that's important to me is what does God say I am. Where do I fit into the time and the peace and the grace of God that He can fulfill the purpose and plans in my life? For 2018, where are we going to? Am I going to build this here for my purpose, for my plans, for my glory? Or am I going to build it because God has got a purpose and a plan for this church, for each one of us in this church, the music ministry, the children's church, any department within this church? If we do it for God's glory, He's going to honor that. That will be a joy to do, because then we won't do it because we have to. That we do it because we want to, for what Christ has done for us. When I have to do things, my flesh rebels. But when I want to do it, nothing can stop me. Because then I have the purpose and the plan of God in my life. If I live on glory and my fame, I am empty. I'm not even full of grace. I'm not even full of His blessings. We live a shallow life if we seek people's approval. In contrast, God's affirmation is deep and fulfilling, that we may walk with the joy and the presence and anointing of God. When you live your life with His glory, not many people will know what you are doing, because you will do it because you want to do it for His glory. So so many times people do things and they broadcast it and they get the praise of people. Oh, you're good, you're excellent. That's not what it's all about. It's all about God, about His presence, His power and His purpose and His ability in your life. No one may compliment you. No one may say, yeah, that's a good thing that you've done. You've done an excellent job. But we live for His glory. There'll be a deep fulfillment in everything that you do. There'll be a purpose in everything that you do. Doesn't matter what you do. You'll have a purpose when you sleep at night. Your sleep will be peaceful and refreshing. You'll wake up the next morning excited to go into this day, not being burdened by the situation and circumstances. When you do everything with His glory, people will notice. If you want our lives to be blessed, that when people look at us, they will not praise us and say we are good, but they will look at Him and say they serve a mighty God. God is awesome. God has purpose. God has a plan. When I was told on the 27th of October that, Frank, from the 1st of November, you're not needed anymore. It was just whoop. I found myself standing like here, like over a cliff, and I didn't know what to do anymore. Lord, everything I wanted to do is crashed. I don't know what now. I came to the point in my life, I surrender. I'm standing with my back against the wall. I'm standing here. I can't do anything. There's nothing. I don't have a pension. I don't have this. I don't have that to rely upon. You are the author and the finisher of my faith. You are my fortress and my deliverer in whom I can trust. Lord, let Your will and Your purpose become part of my life. Let Your will and Your purpose fulfill that's the thing that You have. Let Your will be important in my life. And when the doors behind me closed, God opened other doors. And I'm still amazed. I'm still standing at awe and what God is doing and where God is going. We'll be stressed about finances. God is just faithful. He looks after us. I don't ever stress about it. For a whole year, I've stressed about when I go on pension, I won't have money. I won't have sufficient of this. I won't have sufficient of that. But being under God's grace, the complete work on Calvary, Calvary covers it all, covers my shame, covers everything there. Calvary makes it peaceful for me. Because I'm under God's grace, His fulfillment, His purpose and His plans. So for 28, and I'm not stressed out. Because I know in whom I believe. I know because I'm under grace. I'm not allowing situations and circumstances to affect my spiritual life. Why do you want to bless this year? Why do you want 1,000 times more for this year? For self-gratification? No, but for His glory. When God blesses us, we have opportunity to tell our friends about Him. We have a testimony. I love it when in Revelation it says, and they were known by the word of their testimony, and by the blood of the Lamb. Your career, your health, your marriage, your business, are blessed not because of enjoyment only, but because for a higher reason, to glorify God. Let our view and our attitude and our vision be for this year. Lord, let everything I do be for Your glory. No matter what. If I do something and it's not perfect, don't condemn ourselves, because then we get under the law again. I've done it for Your glory. Because if I play drank, and it sounds like the worst thing in the world, by the time it gets to heaven, it's been purified, it's been put right, it's been beautiful music in the ears of the Lord. Why? Because my attitude was right. Because I did it to glorify Him. Whatever I do, if I may pick up toilet paper, if I work in the toilet, whatever I may do, but if it's a big job or a small job, if I do it for God's glory, He's going to honor that. For that higher reason, because He says, I have a purpose and a plan for you for 2018. God wants to be in control of your life and my life. He wants to show us exactly what He wants to do, how He wants to do it. That might be completely different to what we think and what we want to do. But I would rather do what God wants to do than do my own thing. And God is not a God that will take you suddenly out of your situation and say, I'm doing this now. Now God says, go there. He will take that, what you're busy with, and He will perfect it to His purpose and His cause. He will use that for His glory, that through everything that will happen, His name will be lifted up on high, and God will be glorified. So tonight, the question is to you is, what are you going to do in 2018? Are we going to allow God to be God? Are we going to allow Him to be the author and the finisher of our faith? Are we going to allow Him to affect our lives that people will look at you and they will know? Like when they look at the disciples, they said, we know that they're different because they've been with Jesus. That we will be different because we've been with God. Our lives and our vision and everything that we have has been controlled by the Most High God, by Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That He is our Savior, He is our Redeemer, and He knows exactly what your purpose and plans are. It sounds strange to say, Lord, I want to do Your will, I do Your purpose, if I don't know what. But you know what I'm doing? I'm sitting down. I say, Lord, You are working within me. See, because by law, I'm working, and the grace, God is working. God is working daily, daily, daily in my life. And I can feel the presence, and I can feel His power and His anointing. Let that be our desires for this year. Let our desires be every day. Lord, whatever I do for Your glory. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Keith.